I love a good story, and the way that you tell that story is vitally important. And with me today on Charisma News is Stephen Blake, and in just a moment, he's going to be sharing his story, but also the story that God has entrusted him with to turn into a major motion picture right after this. Read more stories on Spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription. This is John Matarazzo with Charisma News, and with me right now is Stephen Blake of Realm Pictures International. Stephen, it's great to have you here, sir.
John, great to be here. Thank you for having me, sir.
So, Stephen, people might not recognize your name, but they probably might recognize some of your work that you've done, because you've been in Hollywood in the industry for 42 years, you told me before we started here. What are some of the things that people might recognize you from, or at least your work from?
Well, I came up the ranks as a cinematographer doing a lot of genre films, action films, war films, horror films back in my early 20s. I've been in the business all my adult life and professionally from the last few years of my pre-adult life as well. A lot of those films, such as Battleground and Jungle Assault and others, have cult followings around the world. They weren't anything in particular to write home about, but I'm probably best known for a lot of the music videos that I directed or shot as cinematographer. Music videos for LL Cool J, Mama Said Knock You Out, for example, mm-hmm. I'm a cinematographer on that. A lot of work for Snoop Dogg and Tupac and Dr. Dre and Wu-Tang and Run DMC, Neil Young, and lots of others. And mm-hmm. all that was before I actually became a believer, heard the gospel, and was turned sort of 180.
Yeah. So tell me how you became a Christian. How did Jesus come into your life and turn you around?
I was not raised in a Christian community or family. I, looking back now, it's stunning. You hear things about Jesus died on the cross. I never understood what that meant. It was just sort of in the atmosphere all the time. I didn't really know what Easter was about. I really didn't know what Christmas was about. And I had a belief that this Christianity thing was just, I was just one religion of many. I was very much in the New Age movement at the time. I followed Eastern mystics, the Paramahansa Yogananda, and various others. And unbeknownst to me, my sister Jamie, who was staying with me at the time, she had become a believer. Hmm. And one day she called me from her office, and she had formed a prayer group to pray fervently for her family, meaning myself and our other sister and my mom. And she said, "Stephen, I've got to meet with you tonight." And I said, "Okay." So we got together tonight, and she had been praying about how specifically to share the gospel with me, because I'm not someone that just signs on onto other agendas, other ideologies. It's like things have to register with me. And she was praying about, I would later find that she was praying about how to witness to Stephen. Mm. And she opened up by saying, "Do you know that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin, and that the Bible says this?" And that was kind of stunning to me. It sounded like science fiction. I'd never heard that before in my life. And she proceeded to open the Bible, which I respected. I had the Bible on the shelf amongst many other books.
Sure, sure.
And she showed me the Old Testament pictures, the sacrifices that were made. And then she came forward to the sacrifice that Jesus made once and for all. Mm. And I was in the midst of doing these music videos on the East Coast and the West Coast. I was always on a plane shooting on both coasts. Very, very sort of hardcore hip hop, in fact, I was directing and creating this content. And that was my world. It was a dark world, frankly, a world that I would turn from. And by the end of that evening, I professed faith. And I still have and use the pink spirit-filled life version of with the New King James Version translation that she handed me that very night.
Wow.
And it was stunning to me. And I was keeping a journal during that time of my life. And again, I was always on a plane between the coasts, so I'd have 5 hours in flight one way and 6 hours the other way. So I recorded my journey through the New Testament, my being stunned at what I've discovered. My eyes were being opened as I got not only a glimpse, but I got a really, really rich vista of the true Jesus, which is, by the way, what Steal Away is about. It's the true Christ. My life radically changed from that time on. So that it was, I thank my sister Jamie and the Lord working through her. And my whole family became saved. She's a fervent evangelist for the gospel. So my whole family and all of our immediate circle of friends became saved because of her evangelism.
Wow. So I read somewhere that you were so turned, you had such a 180 whenever you came to Christ, that you actually renounced the work that you were doing and put in a newspaper about your story. What inspired you to do that? And tell me what that was like.
So I was known internationally for the work I was doing, which was very, very dark content. I mean, it glorified murder, violence, misogyny, drug use, and all kinds of other things that I won't say here. And I was creating that content. Mm-hmm. In fact, you are awarded music videos by the record label based on the treatment or the synopsis that you create. So I'm generating this myself. And my work is known all over the world. I remember going to Russia at one point in time and being in this underground sort of massive club and seeing my work on the screen. So it became clear to me after I had become saved and the Lord really, the Holy Spirit basically let me know, walk away, walk away. It became clear that he had plans for me. And today what's very common is when it's very easy for the enemy to dig up accusations against people and say that their conversion isn't genuine or to say that there's no sincerity here, to do anything to discredit the one who's sincerely looking to bring the message of the love of the true Christ to the world. And the Lord kind of showed me that I need to make a declaration early on for the public so that I am saying, I have turned from this, I renounce this. And so I drafted a notice for the Los Angeles Times and published in the unclassified ad section, just simply an acknowledgement of the work I had done, saying that I'd come to faith and saying that my faith has now brought me to renounce all of that body of work, so that it's on the record. No one can accuse me of being someone who's sort of conveniently stating, you know, that I'm a person of faith today.
Yeah, it's definitely not a convenience, especially whenever you've come out of that world where you were very successful producing dark content, and you actually inconvenienced yourself by doing that, because I'm sure you weren't going to continue doing that work. What kind of stuff did you do after that?
So there was a window of time where after I renounced all the work I had been doing, I called all my clients and let them know that I could no longer continue. They thought I was crazy. I went poor. Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful Christian group here in Los Angeles. I don't know if you know the name Karen Covell and Jim Covell, but they headed up a wonderful group here in town. They actually, the Christian community, helped me out financially during this time of poverty because I just walked away from it all. And then I began exploring what the world of Christian filmmaking was. I didn't know. It hadn't been part of my life at all. And so I shot some things that were faith-themed projects. But very quickly, it became clear to me that the Lord's will for me, I'm someone who loves to engage those that don't believe, whether you're of another ideology, religiously. You know, I've belonged to atheistic meetup groups where I'm the only believer sitting in the midst of them, and I'm there so I can be a loving testament to the goodness of God and a place where they can ask questions that they wouldn't be able to ask elsewhere. I've spoken at Baha'i centers and other things and et cetera. So what became clear to me was that the faith-based community, filmmaking community that existed, that I again sort of dabbled in and shot some things for, that God had other frontiers for me. So I actually kind of, again, dabbled in some projects. I have a very rich Christian filmmaking community here in Los Angeles, fortunately, that I'm very intimate with. But at the same time, the Lord shifted course for me and then began the process and the pathway that would lead here.
Wow. So let's talk about where you are now. You have your company, Realm Pictures International, and you are working on a passion project, which is more than just like a passion project. That's kind of that's used a lot in a lot of other terms. But like, yes, you are passionate about this, but you are full force into creating this film called Steal Away. And on your website, you have a 3-minute synopsis of what this film is about. And I can't wait to see this when this comes out, because the way that you communicate that story just with a synopsis it sounds like it's going to be an amazing, amazing film. Could you give us an idea of what is going to be the story of Steal Away and why it's so important that it is turned into a major motion picture?
Absolutely. So I believe these are the last days. And I believe that every day that the Lord has tarried in coming back is a day where he wants more people to be brought into the fold of faith, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, Arab, Armenian, anywhere at all. I am convinced of that. And I believe that the Lord has commissioned us. Greater things will you do, that he wants us to be very fervent about moving into the world and into the realm of unbelief and disarmingly bring messages of the true Christ of love that heals, of course, and binds peoples, disparate peoples together into one family. That's what he wants us to do and certainly wants me to do. At the same time, I'm very aware of our society today. The enemy is at work. Suicide rates are climbing to all-time highs. There's a sense of frustration, of anger, of rage, of racial division around the world today. The enemy is presenting darkness as light, and the world is buying it. And again, the Lord keeps tarrying and tarrying and tarrying because he wants more and more people to come into the fold. So it became clear to me that the Lord would have me, in by fasting and prayer, seek him for what direction he would utilize this person called Stephen Blake that he had made. Lord, how would you wield me? Mm-hmm. And of course, my work's in entertainment. I have a passion too. I love speaking to those that are atheists, Hindus and Buddhists and non-Messianic Jews as well as my brother's Messianic Jews. And as I was praying and praying and praying and praying, he led me to found Realm Pictures, because all that is his realm. Mm. All that is Paramount, all that is Universal is his realm. And when I was praying about...
I like that. That's good.
He's so good. when I was praying about what then he would bring to the world, God's so good. My wife and I had a print of a painting above our fireplace. We had a print. We didn't know their story, but it was a print of a painting of a choir of young former slaves dressed in Victorian garb. And we had heard that Queen Victoria herself in 1874 had commissioned that portrait of this sort of regal young choir. Mm. And so we just loved it for decor. It was hanging above our fireplace. And on the particular day, my wife and I, she's a believer, my partner in this, mm-hmm. we were walking around. We had a large library. We later sold our home to be able to make this happen. But we had a library. We were walking around looking at titles. There are some amazing stories. And we said, what's the story of this young choir? Why would Queen Victoria commission a portrait of this choir? We didn't even know their name. So through research, I found out that they were the Fisk Jubilee Singers. Mm. Following the Civil War, this was a sensational choir of young former slaves fighting the KKK's reign of terror against their schools. Hmm. Not with bullets or bombs, but with these sensational songs of faith and freedom, the spirituals. Hmm. And this ragtag choir, in this against all odds effort to save their schools and win the hearts of Congress, because at that time, America was at a tipping point. Slaves had been emancipated and made citizens, and voting rights had been given. And there was a movement in Congress to make all 4 million slaves full equals. But there was also a backlash. Mm-hmm. And many were saying that these young former slaves had come too far too soon. So this young choir set out not only to save their schools from destruction, but also to win the hearts of Congress. So that the cause of freedom would be there. And this choir actually rises from the darkness of slavery. They cross the Atlantic and go to the glittering ballrooms and throne rooms of Europe as they become global celebrities. Mm. It's an incredible, and now that much of the story is incredible. And what's powerful about that, again, is Gen Z, our young people. This choir, they're from 14 to 21 years old. This is a group that today, they're taking their lives at a higher rate than ever. They feel hopelessness and futility. And yet this young choir, whose futures were literally being warred against, they're being bombed, their teachers are being assassinated, they actually rise up and they change their world, and they bring faith to the most remote and unlikely people and swaths of society ever. I'll just say one thing about that, and this ties into why the story had to be on screen. So the vice president of the Confederacy was a man named Alexander H. Stevens. He was called the godfather of the Confederacy. Mm-hmm. And in a famous speech, 1861, he said, our Confederacy, he says its foundations are laid and its cornerstone rests on the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race, is his natural and normal condition.
That's horrible.
When this choir sought him out, they didn't attack him. They sang for him, Steal Away.
Wow.
And according to Andrew Ward's book, Dark Midnight, When I Rise, and Tony Anderson's Tell Them We're Singing for Jesus. And these are the two books that this movie is based on, and we have the rights to it. Mm. When they sang for him, Steal Away, he closed his eyes, covered his face, tears began to run down. And he said he'd never heard music like that. And he vowed to spend the rest of his life supporting the cause of equality. In other words, he had been promulgating a false Christ because the Old South in its overtones were based on a false Jesus. Mm. And much of the world today, around the world, they don't read the Bible for themselves. They just hear about these hypocrites called Christians, and they have a false portrait of Christ, and they reject the gospel or any chance of hearing the gospel based on those falsehoods. This choir overturned all of those lies about the true Christ and melted hearts of hatred. So this choir crosses the Atlantic to raise more money, and they become Regal Victorians. And then they have to kind of fight their own egos, which is what takes the story another direction. But this is a story of faith, of hope, of racial reconciliation. It's not a black film. It's black, it's white, it's yellow, it's brown. It starts out in the States. It goes to England, Ireland, Scotland. It'll have people from figures from Israel and other places there. So it's a story of the world that shows a young army, if you will, of change agents changing their world and whose lives are filled with hope. And I think that our Gen Z today, our youngest, most vulnerable people in our society who've probably been just battered by the most destructive ideas. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I was a party to that army that was battering our young people with these destructive ideas, that they need to hear this, and it will lift up lives and bring hope and healing.
Wow. Wow. It sounds like that story is so multifaceted that it's going to keep people on the edge of their seats trying to, you know, just follow along with all the different ways that the story is woven together. I mean, you've got the choir themselves. You've got the vice president of the Confederacy, and, you know, coming to a place of repentance. You've got them traveling all over the world. You've got a lot of these different amazing things that really happened. This is a historical film that obviously you're taking some creative licensing with just to help the story along. You're not fabricating things, but you're just helping tell the story in the cinema form. So what are some of the scenes that you are imagining that you just can't wait to film?
Oh, there are so many. First of all, there is the inception of this. So you have these schools that are being attacked. And these schools, by the way, are founded by missionaries. It's Northern missionaries that come and committed to the true Christ. They're founding hundreds and hundreds, and it would become thousands of schools to really level the playing field and bring the love of Christ to all people. Now, when these schools are under attack, you have this young choir. And at the time, this young choir on the campus of one of these schools, it was the crown jewel of the schools, their campus gets attacked. It looks like the school's going to go out of existence, that in fact the enemy has succeeded in destroying this incredible school. And everyone told this choir, give up. In fact, even they came out of a school called Fisk University, which is still here today, thank God, thanks to them. But Colonel Fisk, after whom this university was named, he himself said, just let the school die. Don't tour, don't do anything crazy. You're going to bring disgrace to us. And there was, in other words, all of sort of creation was telling them, just give up and walk away. The enemy has won here. And this choir, they were told by God to know, take to the road. There was no reason to believe they could triumph. There was no reason to believe that they would become successful, that they would bring the gospel to the world. And again, there is a character called George Leonard White, a character that I love in this story. And he's I think audiences will fall in love with him as I have. But he said to this choir, he says, you know, when God tells us to jump through a wall, it's ours to jump. It's ours to jump and his to put us through. And against all odds, they took to the road. And by the way, they suffered at first. At first, they were actually singing Mozart and Beethoven and polite things. At first, they thought, okay, well, let's actually sing more conventional songs that people are familiar with. On the road, they floundered, they were actually destitute, and they were sickly, and their clothes were threadbare on the streets of northern cities. They were getting sick. It looked like one of the characters was going to die, actually. And it was then that they said, let's be fully faithful to God and let's sing the spirituals. Let's bring these messages to the people. And they did, and they conquered. And Ulysses S. Grant became a huge fan. Dwight Moody would end up traveling with them through Europe. Wow. So it's God being faithful when we're faithful and stand on his word. There is an incredible ballroom scene that happens in London. By this time, the choir have become sort of really, really opulent sort of celebrities. And we see them struggling to retain their identity in Christ when the pullings and tuggings of the world are trying to strip them of that. And that's going to be a powerful dramatic scene because I can certainly relate to that. You know, we're tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, as that hymn says. So, but probably most excitingly for me is the very end of the story. I won't give away the very, very end, but a fairly apocalyptic massacre happens in Act Three. And in the aftermath of this massacre, which is sort of an allegory, it's been developed in an allegorical sense. It looks like all hope for the future is lost. It looks like our God, the true God, the God of love, who's knocked down the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, that God of love and healing, it looks like for a minute, as it does to many of us sometimes in our own journeys, as it does to much of the world, when they look upon where the church is on in the world today, it looks like we've failed, like our God perhaps is not the true God. Where are you, God? Where were you, God? And there's every reason because we as filmmakers, we can't avoid going into the trenches. There are doubts. We have doubts sometimes. And so this is conveyed in the film itself. And yet, when it looks like by appearances that the game is over, things change. The march and the journey and the triumph, the triumphal campaign of Christ continues. And anyone that wants to read this, we've actually put the script right there on the website. You can download and read it if you go to realmpictures.co. We welcome you to read that. Yeah. So there's also a redemption. There's one figure, because redemption is what we want. We don't want, quote unquote, the other side to be destroyed. We want them redeemed, like the Apostle Paul was redeemed. He was a terrorist.
Yeah.
And the Lord redeems him. So there is a very surprise moment of redemption, also the climax of this film, that I'm looking forward to audiences savoring.
Right. You know, it's easy to hear your passion for this story and just the way that you're communicating it. I'm seeing the pictures in my mind as you're talking about it. And that's, I mean, as a filmmaker, that's a good thing, that by the way that you're communicating, that I can see those pictures. But how do we get those pictures that you just painted in our minds onto the big screen? I know you said that you're in soft pre-production right now. Where are things right now, and where do things need to go?
Absolutely. And the Lord is doing this. You know, Jesus says three times in John, in between 14 and 17, he says, you know, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. My Father will do it, so that he will be glorified. You will abound in good works and your joy will be full. And Jesus, of course, tells us that when you, you know, look, face that mountain and say, move, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that that thing which you prayed will happen. It will happen. And we're standing on that. So the Lord has brought us to this point, which is amazing. My wife, with COVID hitting and everything, my wife and I have sold our house, and we're in a rental right now, which is perfectly fine because we're standing on his word. And the beautiful thing is, we haven't waited for Hollywood to validate us. We've launched and bought the properties to the script. We have created the script and brought it to this point. We have phenomenal box office projections from the world's leading box office analytics firm. We went ahead and launched our casting call already. If you go to our IMDb page, you'll see that we've cast about 20 of the film's 65 roles already. And some of the artists are just, well, every artist is extraordinary, but you'll recognize some of them. They're already quite well known. Each one of them is amazing. And so now, because we've had sort of a lot of, we've had about 25,000 people around the entire world that have read the script. We've had live streams where people have cried. And one woman shared how just reading the script has saved her life. She was at the brink of checking out, actually. And we have already heard the effect that just the story in script form and people hearing about the project has had on lives. So And all that's on the website. You can look at the live streams and see the interactions we've had with people literally around the world. And all that has been in anticipation of procuring our full financing. So now, because we've had a lot of press coverage and there have been news reports on us and the trades have covered us and we've had this sort of global engagement, investors now are engaging us. We're in the midst of several discussions right now. But we very much want to bring the opportunity to produce this film to the people of God. We would love if the people of God were our partners in this. Now, we are engaging investors, but nothing's done yet. And we're not assuming or presuming that those particular discussions will necessarily come to harvest. We don't know what the Lord's plans are. So what we are asking is that the Christian community stand with us at Realm Pictures. Realm Pictures is the beginning of a new motion picture studio model where we are making spirit-filled, quote-unquote, entertainment for the world. Not just films that speak to the Christian community, but films like Saving Private Ryan and Schindler's List and Braveheart, to make these for the world, globally distributed films. It's the new motion picture studio model. Steal Away is our launch film, we believe. It's projected by, again, the world's most respected box office analytics firm that this will do well. And we are asking the people of God to partner with us in the making of this first film, which will be our proof of concept. We're asking them to consider donating. We have a fiscal sponsor so that all donations are tax deductible. We're asking for investment partners to look at our investment materials. And also, of course, we're asking for the prayers of the saints because the Lord's doing a great thing. And all that's available if you go to realmpictures.co, not com, .co/faithpartners. All the information is there and more information about my testimony as well. But together, until the Lord comes, now he may come this afternoon and may he may come tomorrow and may he. But I know the Lord wants every person in this world. I know he wants them to be saved. He wants us to be reaching out and entertaining those from, the Jewish community, the Muslim community, the Hindu community. When I say entertaining, bringing the word of God in these sort of souffles called motion pictures to the tables of people around the world. And that's what we are doing so that we can partner with our Lord in bringing many, many, many sons to glory until the day that he says that he's coming back and that he does return.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to encourage our audience here to really be praying for Stephen and the whole team at Realm and just the things that God has called them to do, that God would make their path straight, that there would be just tremendous miracles along the way as they are following the path that God has put in front of them to tell this amazing story, which will truly bring life change into people's lives. Movies and pictures and stories, those stories as they're being told by a good craftsman and a good storyteller have the power to change lives. And from, you know, what we put into our eyes, what we put into our ears really does affect us. And we as the body of Christ need to be supporting and at least going to see these types of films. Now, we don't have a release date yet for Steal Away, but you want to stay tuned for just updates about what is happening here. And make sure that you go to realmpictures.co to hear and to see Stephen passionately explain the story of Steal Away. And then there's ways that you can partner with them and get to the movie's website. And as things are developing, I want to encourage you to follow them on social media. There's links on that for their website for that as well. And we're just looking forward to seeing how we can partner with you and how, you know, because we love at Charisma, we love talking about movies, especially faith-based films, because like I said, those stories really do change lives. I know stories have changed my life, especially when they're biblically based and you see God's hand working mightily in that. And Stephen, from your personal story to the story that God's entrusting you to bring forth on film on the big screen, I just want to thank you for being a storyteller, for telling us what God has done, for sharing that testimony. And I just want to pray for you that God would just give you abundant blessings and favor and just release a true blessing upon you. So thank you so much for being on the Charisma News podcast. It's been an honor and privilege to talk with you. And like I said, I look forward to seeing this film when it comes out.
Thank you so much, John. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
This has been John Matarazzo for the Charisma News podcast. God bless you.